So I'm just going to pray for Beth, and then Beth's going to come and share God's word with us. Thank you, Lord, that we are able to gather again, and we gather in your name. We gather as the people of Jesus and the Church of Christ. And we thank you for Beth, who leads our region so wonderfully well. We just ask, Lord God, that you would speak through her, and that our hearts and our eyes and our ears will be open to what you want to share with us today. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Over to you, Beth.
Tim, just to say, start recording.
Better. Sorry, I couldn't unmute myself to begin with then. I thought for a minute I was going to have to do it all by sign language. That could have been tricky. Anyway, thank you for having me. I should have been with you physically in person, obviously, but I'm in my lounge and you are in your lounge and kitchen and conservatory and various other places. But in Christ, we are still together, aren't we? And I've been given about 10 minutes to probably preach one of the most challenging subjects there is. So let's journey together and see what happens, a reconciling community. And it has this wonderful verse in it that is so familiar, that we are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come, verse 17. And many of us right now will probably be having a chorus going round our head that we used to sing along those lines, but I'm not about to burst into song. But this whole passage reminds us how we have received reconciliation with God through Christ. Wow, that is a big, big subject. I think to try and understand this work of reconciliation and its profound significance, I think we kind of have to flip it over and consider the opposite. And perhaps a word to help us consider the opposite is alienation. You see, in order to be reconciled, we first have to be alienated. But then what does alienation mean? What does that mean? It doesn't mean being aliens, does it? Have you ever felt alienated in your life? Well, how about at school, among school friends? I certainly felt alienated. There was a period of time at junior school where, for some reason, the girls that I'd previously played with decided they weren't going to talk to me for a week. To this day, I've no idea why, and it was very painful. And that's the pain of alienation, isn't it? Have you been alienated at work by a colleague or even your boss? If you've been alienated in church, well, sadly, I think some of us can give testimony to that too, the one place where we shouldn't feel that. So I think this is a state that we can all relate to in our lives. We can even relate to having felt alienated in a crowded room. And maybe alienation can be defined in our relationships as an absence of trust or respect between people. It's what happens in marriage breakdown, in industrial disputes, or even on a national level. It implies enmity and division, a lack and very poor communication. So we truly know what that feels like, I think. Every single one of us could give an example of what it feels like to be alienated. So to state the obvious, because this passage is in some way stating the obvious. It's the way we are in relation to God, alienated before the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and his resurrection, which we celebrated so profoundly last weekend. This actually means God the Almighty, the Holy One, is untouchable to us without Jesus because of our alienation. Because of our alienation, we cannot plead with Almighty God for justice or mercy without Jesus. We cannot call him Father without Jesus. We cannot enter the throne room of heaven without Jesus. We have no security with and before God without Jesus. Because our state is an alienated state, there is a loss of communication and a breakdown of relationship, which was damaged at the very beginning of time when humans turned their back on God. And so the work of reconciliation talked about in this passage is the reversal of that very alienation. But for a moment, let's think about the one that's writing these mighty words in Corinthians. Paul writes in verse 13 that he is compelled by God's love. He's driven. He is a driven individual, isn't he? He's compelled by God's love daily to move forward in his ministry. And if you read into chapter 6, you will discover that he's doing this despite beatings, imprisonments, riots, hard work, sleepless nights, hunger, and so on and so on and so on. And he concludes that he has nothing and yet he possesses everything. He is compelled by God's love. This is the Paul who, it's worth remembering, was previously compelled with murderous intent before he encountered Jesus. Here's the power of the work of reconciliation then. For here is one that's compelled with God's love, who was previously compelled with murderous intent. He was totally alienated from God, like every single one of us has been who doesn't know Jesus, and is now totally reconciled to God. And his motivation for living is what? To be an ambassador for reconciliation. He is compelled by God's love to declare that we are a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. So having just journeyed through Easter, we can easily recall Jesus' tears in Gethsemane, the beatings and ultimate crucifixion on Good Friday, the silence of Saturday, and then the power in the graveyard as he rises from the tomb. That's the work of reconciliation. But you see, the thing about this alienation business and reconciliation is that usually there's a third party to bring about reconciliation when there's a state of alienation, whether that's in a marriage or an industrial dispute. There's normally a third party, a mediator. But of course, God did it himself, didn't he? He did it himself by sending Jesus. So because of his sacrificial son, Jesus, rising from the dead and being ascended on high, we can now plead with God for justice and mercy. We can call him Father. We can enter the throne room of heaven. We can have absolute security before Jesus, before God, because our alienation has been reversed once and for all. And I believe most of you know this. I don't think I'm telling you something you don't know. But maybe some of you don't. Or maybe you don't really, really, really know. Really know. Do you have that compelling love that drove Paul onwards? You see, Paul writes in verse 15 that we're told that Christ died for all and put all things to death. That's putting to death our self-centered living. You see, if we are now reconciled with Christ before God in the throne room of heaven, then we can no longer live egocentrically, but we need to live Christocentrically, or to put that more simply, we need to be Christ-centered and not me-centered. That's what reconciliation means. That if we've received God's ministry of reconciliation, if we are no longer alienated, but can stand with confidence before Almighty God because of the work of Jesus, we can embrace being a new creation and live the compelling love of Christ and be Christ-centered. So how are you doing on that one? How am I doing on that one? But you see, this is what it means to be a reconciling community, to be Christ-centered, not me-centered. And my word, that is tough, isn't it? It is tough. Every single day we are challenged with being Christ-centered, not being me-centered. We are challenged with living as a new creation, with the old having gone. The old just creeps in so quickly each day when we get ratty or fed up with the person we're stuck indoors with at the moment. When we just rail against the circumstances that we're in, there's so many things that cause us to become me-centered and not Christ-centered. But at the end of this passage, in verse 20, we're actually called more than that, to be ambassadors for Christ in this work of reconciliation. So we should be the ones modelling this to those that don't yet know. We should be the ambassadors of reconciliation in our daily life, in our actions, in our work, in our relationships. Ambassadors of peace, Paul also calls it in Ephesians 2, where he describes us being built together as one structure, spiritually bound together into a dwelling place for God. For where reconciliation is present, there the Spirit of God is present, and that's where he delights to be. So then, let's do a bit of a reconciliation health check, shall we? Are you embracing being a new creation in Christ, in yourself, in your very being? Are you allowing him to renew you daily, allowing him to walk and talk with you and build you up in these trying times? No? Maybe not? Well, I'd like you right now just to literally take a breath. Focus on that empty cross and the work of Jesus. Let the Spirit breathe into those dry and barren places so that you may be Christ-centered and not me-centered. For you are a new creation. What else then in our reconciliation health check? Are you bringing reconciliation and peace into your relationships? We are shut in, locked down. Things are under strain, aren't they? Is there one way in which you can be an ambassador of reconciliation in Christ's strength in your home today? Simple things. Do the washing up without grumbling. Let someone else have the TV remote. Get out of bed first and make that cup of tea or coffee. Call that friend that you've been grumbling about hasn't called you. Be the one that brings the peace and the reconciliation in your home and in your relationships. Finally, in our reconciliation health check, how can you be God's instrument of reconciliation in your church? There's a challenging one for us all. Speaking words of grace and peace instead of criticism or rebuke. Sharing verses and words of blessing, particularly right now. Not being found grumbling or condemning. Maybe choosing to see the church through Christ's eyes, and it is his bride that he loves dearly and not through yours. Perhaps that's a way of being Christ-centered, not me-centered. So pause right now and imagine yourself standing in your church, whether that's St. Andrew's or whether it's Zion. Imagine yourself standing there. It's empty at the moment. As you stand there and you picture yourself there as an ambassador for Christ in a work of reconciliation, what does God want to do through St. A's or through Zion in these unprecedented times? And how does he want you to be a part of that as an ambassador for reconciliation? Well, this is hard stuff, isn't it? This work of reconciliation was hard for Jesus too. He had to choose the cross of sacrifice. It's not easy for us either, but we have the gift of his Holy Spirit to make all things new. For if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here, people. The new is here. We live in the power of the resurrection, bathed in the Holy Spirit, and each one of you can be ambassadors for the reconciliation of Christ. So may we go in his strength and know what it is to be Christ-centered and not me-centered. And to live out these words, this passage in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you.